In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today, my friends, we find ourselves back in Jerusalem at a gathering of the apostles and other disciples, maybe in the upper room itself. Two of the disciples have just returned from Emmaus, where they encountered our Lord. In the midst of their talking about this, Christ appeared. Once again, he convinced them about his reality by showing them the wounds on his hands and feet. Then he went further, asking for something to eat. No apparition, no illusion, no ghost could eat a piece of fish. Only a real man could do that. And so the disciples were convinced. Then, just as he did for the two on the road to Emmaus, Christ opened the disciples' minds to the scriptures. He explained the scriptures to them and showed them how they all point forward to him, the Christ, and his passion and resurrection. This is such an important theme that the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles return to it over and over. Look at our first reading from Acts today. St. Peter tells a group of Jewish people that God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouths of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. St. Peter had taken that lesson from Jesus to heart, and now he was sharing it with those around him so that their hearts and minds might be open to understanding the scripture. But this should bring two questions to our mind. First, why was this important to the Jewish people? Why did Christ repeat this teaching so many times? And why did the apostles go on to share it? The Jewish people have a very strong and rational belief in God and in their scriptures. They may have broken their covenant with God many times during the 14 to 1500 years between the covenant on Mount Sinai and the birth of Christ, but they still managed to preserve the details of their faith and their identity as a people that whole time. They weren't likely to just accept something radically different from the faith of their ancestors. And so it was important that Christ showed them how his passion, death, and resurrection, and likewise all his teachings, directly followed from the scripture they all knew so well. He showed them that he and all he experienced was prefigured in the book of Genesis, in the law books of Moses, in the books of the prophets, and in the history and other texts of the Tanakh, or the Jewish scriptures. It was essential that these Jewish followers of Christ all understood that according to scripture, their Tanakh, that things had to turn out the way they turned out, that this was not something new, but was a natural progression of all that the Jews held to be true. Essentially, these Jewish people had to learn how to read their scriptures in a new light, the light of Christ. That meant new interpretations of everything they had read, new meanings that had been hidden before but were now revealed. It is this change that demonstrates to us why modern Jewish people can share so much scripture with us Christians and still not see the same things we see. For them, it is a very different scripture. For instance, the order of the books are different. The Jewish Tanakh ends with the second book of Chronicles, in which King Cyrus of Persia frees the Jewish people to go back to Judah and he rebuilds their temple. This is an ending on a point of hope for them that once again a temple might be rebuilt. The Catholic Old Testament, on the other hand, ends with the prophet Malachi. At the end of that book, the prophet predicts the return of Elijah to call back his people before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And behold, Elijah does return in the very next book of the Christian Bible, the book of Matthew, which tells us about the ministry of John the Baptist, who fulfilled the prophecy of Malachi. And Malachi's day of the Lord is the advent of Jesus Christ. But what about us? What is Christ saying to us? Remember that we have to read scripture both ways, in terms of what the writing is saying to the people of its time, and what is the writing saying to us today. First, it helps us to get a greater appreciation of that portion of Holy Scripture that we call the Old Testament. It is sometimes easy to discount the Old Testament and treat it as more of a historical novelty, some fun stories like the flood and the parting of the Red Sea, surrounded by a bunch of stuff that is esoteric and hard to get into. But in reality, the Old Testament is a treasure trove of wisdom and of crucial information about Christ and his mission. For instance, it is only in the Old Testament that we can truly understand what it means for Christ to be our Savior and why he had to die. God told the Jews that in order to have their sins forgiven, the sins had to be placed on an animal by laying hands on the animal. That animal was then slain at the altar. Well, the sins of mankind are so great that no normal sin offering could suffice. Only the sacrifice of the Son of God himself could atone for the sins of mankind. Or look at Mary. She is the Ark of the New Covenant. By studying the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, we can learn something about Mary and her relationship to Jesus. We can learn that just as the Ark had to be pure to be the mercy seat of God, Mary had to be pure in order to hold Jesus in her womb. The second thing we can learn from the fact that Christ continually opened up his followers' minds to the Scripture is the general importance of reading Scripture itself. We Catholics sometimes get a bad rap, especially with Protestants, as not being well-versed in Scripture. They say we don't read Scripture and don't know about it, but our Mass is full of Scripture. Not only do we have four different readings from Scripture at every Mass, the Old Testament or Acts of the Apostles, a psalm, a reading from the letters of the New Testament, and a reading from the Gospels, but all of the prayers at Mass are taken, often word for word, from Scripture. But we need more than just the Scripture we get at Mass. As Christians, we need to be soaking ourselves in Scripture. We need to be reading Scripture every day, because in reading Scripture, we are enhancing our relationship with Jesus. If you don't read the Bible regularly, then I challenge you now, start. It doesn't have to be a lot, 10 minutes a day, maybe 15. If you don't go to daily Mass, at the very least read the daily Mass readings. You can find those on the USCCB website. But it is so much more special to pick up a Bible and start reading. It doesn't matter where. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Read a book of the Bible you've always been curious about. It's always good to start with one of the Gospels. Just read it and let it move you. I guarantee that you will find things that inspire you, that surprise you, and that make you think. And you will get closer to Jesus, which is what we all want. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.